First of all, congratulations on your new role as the new Consul General of the Republic of the Philippines for the citizens of Queensland.
Thank you. It's exciting, isn't it?
Well, I hope that your constituents will not be upset from, you know, abandoning them and looking after us now this time.
No, I think it's time for me to leave Council and time for something else.
How do you see your role in the Philippine Consulate in Brisbane?
Well, I find it's a challenge. It's a challenge because I live on the Gold Coast. I go up every Wednesday. It takes an hour and a half to get there through the peak hour traffic. But I think we might have to relocate the office somewhere closer to the CBD. The embassy mentioned that they wanted something closer to the central city. So at this stage, we're leaving the office where it is because we've paid a lease. But the first job confronting me is to find something a little bit bigger and closer to town.
Well, for those who don't know you very well, I know you've been appointed, is it 6 months ago?
No, 1st of January I started.
Could you tell us your background and a little bit of your experiences, and particularly, where did your interest in the Philippines come from?
Okay, I'm a retired senior sergeant of police. I ended up here at Southport as the domestic violence prosecutor. And I had 30 years in the police force in North Queensland, but most of it was down here on the Gold Coast. Now, in the domestic violence court, they kill each other, literally, and they do. And I did that for 4 years, and I just had enough. So after 30 years, I said to my husband, I'd like to try local government as the local councillor. And he said, okay, give it a go, not expecting me to win. So, much to his horror, I won the local council elections for Runaway Bay and Labrador and Arundel. So that was 12 years ago. So I have spent the last 12 years as a local city councillor here. Now, where did I get to know the Philippine community? In the court. I'm not saying they were there as perpetrators, but a lot of them were victims in the domestic violence court. And when I was door knocking to enter into council, I met quite a few of them. And they said, you were kind to us once, but yes, we'll vote for you. So I got in. They said, well, you'd help us because they keep having typhoons, as you know. So I went along to all their Filipino functions. And I just clicked. Something just clicked with me in the Filipino community. And I got on very well. And we all had this fundraisers, and we all did what we could to raise money. And they're very musical, and I'm a practicing Christian myself. So we were all on the same page. And I just got to know a lot of Filipino friends, and I don't know, I just went from there. And then I didn't know that my predecessor, Alan Grummet, who it's the same surname, but it's my married name, same name but no relationship. I got to know him by going to all these functions, and I hadn't met him before. And he said, Canberra have asked for half a dozen names to take my position when I retire. He said, would you be interested if I put your name forward? And I said, I'd be delighted, but what do I have to do? And he said, you sign documents. Well, that's an understatement. I went, apparently 7 names were shortlisted by Canberra, then 3 names shortlisted for interview, of which I was one, and then they appointed me. So I asked them, why didn't you appoint a Filipino? I'm sure out of the 7 names, a lot of them were Filipinos. And the answer was, in every community there are disputes. Well, having run a domestic violence court, Erwin, I can testify that, yes, every community there are disputes. And the lady said to me, and you are independent. You're not a Filipino. So we were looking for someone who was going to be independent, A, to assist our community, but also to work with them as well. I've got a huge database. If you can imagine 30 years working for state government and 12 years for working for local government, my community database was huge. And at the interview, that's what they were after, because they said all sorts of issues are going to come up involving the Filipino community. And since January the 1st, I've been asked for 2 issues. Both of them were in my old courthouse down here at Southport. Another was a Filipino national who died on a ship at sea. Well, I used to run the coroner's court, so I knew exactly where to go with that. Within minutes of Canberra emailing me, want to know, can I do X, Y, Z, I was able to email them back and say, this is where you've got to go. Leave this with me. I will do that. And within minutes, I had the answers that they couldn't get because I happened to know the person, the very person, who was doing that particular job at the time. It's not what you know. It's who you know. And I really believe that helped me get the job because I know a lot of Filipinos. And another incident was a lady had domestic violence problems.
not far from where I live. So I went and had a cup of coffee with her in the shopping centre and worked out that there really weren't major problems, that she was lonely, away from her community. So I rang my contacts here in the Filipino community. They went and visited her, and they ran back and said, don't worry about her, Margaret. She's fine. She's one of us. We'll look after her. We'll take her to the Catholic Church, where they were all in the choir. And that's all she needed, was a bit of guidance. Well, because I've been around so long, I knew the senior woman to ring in the community down here, who took her under a wing and is looking after her. I guess I come with a social welfare bent, want for a better word, and I think that was what Canberra was looking for in the interview, because it was a very thorough interview.
The mix of migrants from the Philippines who have come to Brisbane and to Queensland in the last 10 years or so perhaps have changed from wives of Australians. Many of them now come as doctors, as nurses.
Yes.
How do you see the contributions of Filipinos to the economy of Australia?
Okay, well, you've hit the right note with me. Last year, my husband had a heart attack. And just as I was leaving his room, a Filipino theatre nurse came up to me and she said, oh, excuse me. He recognised me. I didn't recognise him. And he said, do you mind if I go in and pray with your husband? And I said, no, by all means, be my guest. So when I went back to visit my husband, I said, did someone come in here? And he said, it was the theatre nurse that operated on me. He said, look around the hospital, Margaret. There are Filipinos everywhere. And they were. The doctor wasn't, but the theatre nurse was. No, a very important role in a heart surgery. So then I started to look around, and I realised that Filipinos are everywhere. As you say, they're educated. Mm. They come in here in their droves. Because of my role with the Gold Coast City Council, we're encouraging foreign countries to come here for higher education. So I asked the TAFE College and the university, since January, how many Filipinos have you got? Here's my card. If you have any issues with the Filipinos, please refer them to me. And they said, Margaret, we're seeing an upsurge, as you say, of academics, well-educated Filipinos are coming here to further their education. And that can only be a win-win situation for both countries.
There was a situation here of the Filipino organization in Brisbane called the Filipino Community Council of Queensland, operating for a number of years, I think since the early 80s.
Yes.
And it just died due to some conflict and miscommunication.
See, there we go.
If you were Alan Grummet at that time, what would you have done to save the existence of that organization?
I've put the word out. Can I please have the name addresses of all the Filipino communities throughout southeast Queensland? And there is quite an extensive list from Gympie to Toowoomba, Brisbane and down our way. And I'm sure there will be a list if I ask for it for northern New South Wales. Now, if I had been present when that had occurred, I saw it every day in court. People want to be heard. They want someone in authority to listen. It may be the magistrate or it might just be a lawyer, whoever. So what I would have done, I would have got the different organisations or the different disputing parties, I would have got them together around a big boardroom and we would have had it out. Your turn to speak, your turn to speak. Everyone speaks through me. I will chair this. Let me know what your grievances are. Now, to the other party, I would say, what can you answer to that? Can we reach a compromise here? I would not have let that organisation die. Nobody has come to me with this. By all means, this is going to be a challenge. This is something that I could rise to and do something with. You have to put all this in writing to me, and I'll follow it through.
People are saying that with the increasing numbers of Filipino in Queensland, particularly in Brisbane, yet the services at the consulate still remain a little bit scanty, and oftentimes Filipinos find themselves driving to Canberra or to Sydney to avail of consular services such as renewal of passport. Do you have any plans?
Passports are all renewed in Canberra. We don't have anything to do with passports. I raised this with the embassy. There's a special machine for renewing passports and it can only be done in Canberra. But they do come up once a year. Every September, they're coming up again this year, and that to save people having to drive to Canberra. So,
for the future, the office of the Philippine Consulate could be in two locations, perhaps one in Cairns and another in the Gold Coast?
That would be a decision for the embassy. You've got to remember that we're all volunteers. Now, when people come in and make application for a visa, all the money goes to Canberra and we get half. Now, that half pays for the rent and it pays for the girl to answer the phone. The rest, it doesn't cover the rest. So we are, remember, we are all volunteers. So when, like, the only issues I have are not with the Filipinos. So far, since the 1st of January, the issues that I've had at the office have involved Australian men who've had their visa application declined because they've got a criminal record, which is fair enough. Why should we? Philippines don't need them, and they will not get a visa if they have a criminal record. So their applications are declined. They are the only ones who have created trouble for me so far. The actual Filipino community haven't. So it's all right for Canberra to say, we want you to have a big fancy office in the CBD of Brisbane, but who's going to pay for that? Obviously not them. So that's why we're trying to do an awful lot on the internet to save people coming in. They can post their applications in for visas. They can post as much as they can. They can post into us and we can process it so they can come straight in, sign and go. So there's none of us hanging around. So I'll drive up every Wednesday up and back and spend the day up there. We can, all the business that's required of me, I can do in a day.
Is there anything that you wish to say to the Filipino community here in Queensland?
I'll do the best I can. Go easy on me. I'm not Filipino. I've been to a few of their functions in Irwin. I've got to be honest, they all talk at once. They all talk at once and no one hears a word of what the other one's saying. And I'm trying to make out what they're saying and they talk so fast. But just talk slowly when they talk to me and I'll do the best I can. And I'm really very passionate about what I'm going to do. I've got a lot of ideas, certainly making corporate contacts. I think that's where my strength is going to be.
Well, Margaret Grammett, thank you very much for your time and congratulations
on
being the new Consul General of the Philippines in Queensland.
Thanks, Erwin. Thanks for your time.
Inyong komunidad, inyong usapan sa SBS Filipino.